Although his secular associates had been steadily increasing their manpower, they were all only too conscious of their lack of weapons. They were too ill-supplied in that regard to arm the men they'd already raised, even with swords and pikes, and all of them combined had less than 400 muskets, all of them old-fashioned smoothbore matchlocks. Against Garvai's forces alone, they would be totally outclassed. Once Viceroy General Cherman put his marines, with their rifles and artillery, into the field in support, any form of armed uprising would be futile. It could result in nothing but a bloodbath for the resistance, especially now that the southeastern portion of the princedom was accepting the Regency Council's authority, and the bishop-executor knew it. But now...
"Is it just the rifles, Wallace?"
Stormkeep asked.
"Let's not poo-poo rifles, Solomon,"
Craggy Hill replied with a sour smile. Stormkeep nodded in acknowledgement, and Craggy Hill shrugged.
"At the moment, he's promising only the rifles. He says we can have the first 400 or 500 within a month or so of reaching an actual agreement. Artillery's going to be harder, because Caleb's being so coy about making it available to Zebediah. Apparently, for some strange reason, he doesn't quite trust Zebediah."
From the expressions of his fellow conspirators, that didn't exactly come as a stunning revelation.
"That raises an interesting point, my lord," Garnot observed. "If Caleb's watching Zebediah, will he actually be able to divert enough rifles to make a difference?"
"I don't know," Craggy Hill said frankly. "I do know that according to his envoy, he's already creatively lost somewhere around 200 rifles which were passing through Zebediah. Apparently, no one in Caleb's quartermaster's corps even noticed. However, the majority of the arms he's proposing to deliver to us will never officially enter Zebediah at all."
"I beg your pardon, my lord?"
Garnot's eyebrows rose, and Craggy Hill snorted.
"I don't know how he's planning to manage it either, Bishop Amelaine, but his envoy seems confident. Apparently, Zebediah hasn't lost any of his penchant for sneakiness. As nearly as I can put it together from what his envoys let slip, he's got a contact in Chisholm who's in a position to divert arms and material from their new Imperial Army. As fast as they're expanding, and with everything that has to be going on while they worry about the church's counterattack, I wouldn't be surprised if someone with big enough balls, if you'll pardon the language, could manage to lose quite a few rifles or even artillery pieces if he were in the right position. And from what Zebediah's envoy is saying, it sounds like his contact in Chisholm is in the right position."
Once again, heads nodded all around the table, this time with varying degrees of profound satisfaction. If Craggy Hill was right, then they were finally in a position to begin serious planning. If they had the weapons and the firepower to stand up to Garvai long enough, there were plenty of Temple Loyalists who'd rally to their colors, and for the first time in far too long, they shared a sense of actual confidence. None of those nodding heads, however, were aware of the tiny, almost microscopic sensor remote clinging to the underside of one of the chamber's ceiling beams, while it eavesdropped on their entire conversation.